Let's open our Bibles this evening to Luke chapter 5, if you would please. Luke chapter 5. And while you're turning there, let me just say what an honor it is to be able to preach while our pastor is away. And I don't take that lightly. And I'm praying that the Lord will use this message to be a help to us. And God has some great things in store for the Emmanuel Baptist Church. There are many of you, you've traveled, you've gone to other places, and you can come back and you can say the same thing that I'll say, but we can testify as a college tour group, having gone some places, there's something special about the Emmanuel Baptist Church. I really loved what Brother Atkins said, and I don't like much of what he says, but I really love what Brother Atkins said when he came back from their trip in Africa, and he said, so much of what we do here, we take for granted. And I don't want us to take for granted what God has given us as a church. I believe, if you allow me to lay the foundation for the message, I believe God is doing something in our church. I believe God is blessing our church. And if you'll permit me for a moment, I believe God is using 12 stones. Not only to help those in our church who, some of you, if you were honest and testify, you're like, I don't really want to go. And when you went, maybe you were like, I don't know why I'm there. And now you have a testimony of, it's doing something in my life. It's helping those in our church, but it's also helping those in our community. Some that they may not have ever come to the church service yet, but they're being impacted by the Word of God. That's why those nights of hope are so important, because of the impact that they can have. The lives that have been helped through our community chaplain, marriages that have been helped, souls that have been saved, people that we might not ever know, people that we might not ever see. The Amanda Ranch, Camp New Beginnings, and so many other ministries. I think of Christian education and those that are looking to our school. Parents that want to send their children to a place where they can trust them to teach them what it means to be a boy and what it means to be a girl. They don't want them to be influenced by the wrong people or taught the wrong things. I'm going somewhere with this, I promise, but follow along with me. The writing of our pastor, the Preacher's Delight Conference, Christian Ladies Fellowship, people are looking to our ministry, looking for encouragement, looking for help. I can't tell you how many pastors this summer that asked, would you send us somebody because they have a need in their ministry? And my college response was always the same. Absolutely, we'd love to do that. This is what we can do. If you send us one of your high school graduates, in about 4 years, we'll send you one of our college graduates. I mean, if you want to reap the benefits, if you want to see the dividends, you have to invest. The point being is God is using our ministry, and people can see that. Despite all of the noise, they can see what God is doing. Looking from the outside in, they see the whole of a thing. But sometimes when you're in it, you don't see what others see. Sometimes you see what they don't. You see a flawed people trying to serve a faithful God. But what others see is a faithful God who loves a flawed people. Sometimes when you're in it, because of busyness, because of routine, because of distraction, and a host of other things, can I say it this way, because you're focused on your area of ministry and not another, you might be wondering, what's going on with that ministry? Is that ministry that important? What do they do in 12 stones anyway? You can go and find out if you'd like. Christian Ladies Fellowship, is it that important? Let me just tell you, yes, it is important. What's going on in that Sunday school class? Do they really teach the Bible, or they just get together and gossip and eat breakfast? And I'm all for eating breakfast and some of the gossip, but we gotta get Bible in there somewhere. And what you don't see sometimes can become discouraging. What you don't see can bring doubt. And sometimes we can miss the blessing that God is doing in our present. And this is really the theme of the message, and I hope you'll grasp it. But just because you can't see what God is doing throughout the whole of a ministry does not mean God's not at work. And that's why it's important for all of us to stand in the gap that God has given for each and every one of us so we can make up the hedge. In our passage of Scripture, it's easy to look from the outside in and see what God was doing. But can I tell you, that is not how these fishermen felt in the moment. And I believe there's a truth here that will help us as we move forward for Christ. Luke chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." Have you ever been there? The goals that you have set for yourself and for your family, only to come up short, only to find yourself not where you want to be in life, perhaps even spiritually. You went to 12 stones one time, and all of your problems weren't fixed. You tried that Sunday school class one time, and you left with the same struggles. You tried praying that prayer, but by the time you said amen, you still felt the weight of the burden you're carrying. I thought at this stage of life, I'd have this and I'd have that. All the work that you've put in, the blood, the sweat, and the tears, wondering, was it worth it? Is this really working? By the way, that doesn't just happen in life. That happens in relationships. That happens in ministry, and we have to be careful because that is exactly what the devil wants. The devil wants you to doubt. The devil wants you to second guess what God has put in your heart. The devil wants you to live the discouraged life. Listen to me now. If the devil cannot defeat you, he will discourage you. He'll offer you detours on the path that God puts you on. And no, you might not give up on God, but all of the nets that you used to cast for him, you'll put away, which will cause you to miss the blessings that God has for your life. You'll stop giving. You'll stop sacrificing. You'll stop serving. And sadly, that's where some will end their story, but I'm glad this chapter doesn't end with verse 4. Verse 5, "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draw of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Can I tell you something that maybe we gloss over when we read this passage of Scripture? Jesus knew that these men were tired. He knew that these men were exhausted. He knew that they had worked all night and had come back and they had nothing to show for it. And yet he asks something of them. Can I borrow your boat so I can speak into the lives of the multitude? Watch this now. That would not only benefit others, but it would also benefit these fishermen. And when he had asked them to launch back out in the deep and cast out the nets, they doubted because they had tried that before. Listen to me now. I've tried that ministry before. Some might have even thought, Lord, this is a waste of our resources. Let's be honest, toiling all the night and taking nothing feels like failure. And I don't know, but maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're struggling. Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand what you're asking of me. I only have so much to give, and I've given you it all, and I have nothing to show for it. And you want us to launch back out into the deep and cast our nets? Lord, another program, another campaign. Can I challenge us? Please hear me. Just because you can't see God working doesn't mean he's not working. To all of our young adults, our teenagers, to all of our church members, some of you might feel like you have toiled all the night with finances, with ministry. Let's throw in dating, and maybe you feel as though it was all for naught. But then God comes along, maybe through a message, maybe through a preacher, maybe through a friend or family member, and says, don't quit, don't give up. God has something special in store. As a matter of fact, why don't we launch back out into the deep? Why don't we go and try to witness to more people and see more souls saved? Why don't we try to have a big day in church? Why don't we give this ministry a try? Why don't we try to get people to come be a part of our Sunday school class? Because God has something in store, yes, for the multitude, but for you. And you're thinking, what's the point? I've done that. I've tried. It didn't work. But hold on. And this is what I want to preach on this evening. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us. The fellowship that we've already had. The music that we've already heard. I know, Lord, it's spoken to all of our hearts. Those that can't be here tonight, Lord, because of illness and health, we pray that you would be with them. We pray that you'd be with our pastor and Mrs. Neal as they're away. Lord, strengthen them. Help them to enjoy their time away. Help our pastor to continue writing and using the gifts that you've given him. But Lord, in this moment, I pray that you'd be with us, that your spirit would have liberty, that you would strengthen us as a church, that, Lord, we might help others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Sometimes God's greatest blessing is when he tells you to launch back out into the deep after toiling all the night and have taken nothing. I think of our college tour group this past summer, and if I could use it as an example, one of them came to me before we left, and they said, Brother Collingsworth, I just want to see the fruit of my labor. I want to see people come to college. I don't want to sacrifice my summer and go around, and I know they're happy to do this. Please don't take what they're saying the wrong way. I don't want to just travel around and sing for some people, but never see anybody come to college, never see anybody help, never see our college grow. If we're going to do this, I want to see the fruit of our labor. And I had to remind them, developing relationships take time. And if I can just say it this way, sometimes when you have gone and spent the whole night and coming back feeling like you've taken nothing, the Lord says you got to go back out and cast the nets. And I understood the sentiment, and praise God, we are going to see some people this upcoming fall. We're going to see the fruit of that labor. As parents, do you not get frustrated? It's like your children just don't get it. How many times do I need to tell them? What more do I need to do? And you've had it up to here and then some, and you're like, would anybody please adopt my child? It's not fun toiling all the night, feeling like nothing has happened. But can I tell you, when you feel like you've toiled all the night and taken nothing, God has been doing something. And I would remind us as a church, as we invest and as we endeavor to make a difference for God, to help the hurting and to help the wounded, to see souls saved, to see lives transformed, be careful about getting discouraged. Be careful because of what you don't see, allowing doubt to come into your life. Be careful feeling like it was all for nothing, because that feeling can keep you from launching back out into the deep and doing what God has put in your heart to do. It can keep you from the blessing that God has in store. And that blessing can represent revival. That blessing can represent a generation being salvaged for God. And I know you've worked hard, and I know that there are those, especially in a midweek service, you're tired. I know that you're on the shore and you're packing up, so to speak, and ready to go home. And I know you're thinking, there's nothing out there for me. But let me tell you, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Doubts will come, but that's where our faith needs to be activated. And I would remind us, great works of God began with great faith. It's not knowing the result of our labor, but knowing it is worthy of our endeavor. And throughout history, many Christians have struggled with their vision. Some struggle to see the blessings that could be. And sadly, that's why many do not activate their faith. And they wind up quitting, and they wind up turning back and giving up. Can I give you an example? A couple of months ago, please don't ask me after the service, but a couple of months ago, some of you had asked me, have you lost weight? And that made me feel a little good that somebody noticed me. You know what I'm talking about? I was very appreciative of that. But can I tell you, when I decided to endeavor to do that, that was my own choice. That was something I wanted to do so I could be healthy. There were times it felt like nothing happened. I mean, I would be careful about what I'd eat. I'd eat healthy. I'm just gonna tell you, I'm just gonna gripe for a moment. There were days I was hungry. I was like, I can't eat that. There would be days I didn't want to go for a run at night, but you know, that was the only times I'd get home after long days. I was trying to be disciplined, and there'd be weeks I'd get back on that scale. Nothing changed. And it was frustrating. There were days it felt like nothing happened. But after a while, I wound up losing like 20 pounds. Can I tell you what I had to do? I had to trust the process. Can I say, God did not call us to perform. He has called all of us to be faithful. And it is through our faithfulness, God works. Can I encourage you? Some of us just need to trust the process. Notice this, if you would, verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Let me paraphrase. Lord, there is nothing here for us. There is nothing in this sea. Verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed the great multitude of fishes and their net brake. Can you imagine the Lord's look at Peter? Peter, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to see God do something in your life? Do you want to see God do something in your family? I think that we would all agree this evening that we would like to see God do something as a church. Are you with me? Well, there are some things that we need to be mindful about. Number one, doubt will never catch the blessing. Doubt will never catch the blessing. Let me remind you, in the Old Testament, when God had a land filled with milk and honey, when God had a promised land for his people, it was a group of individuals that put a question mark where God had put a period. When Moses and Joshua and Caleb and men of that caliber said, I want that mountain, I want to see the blessing that God has in store for us, there were those saying, well, I don't know if that will work. Church, please hear me. Doubters don't make a difference. Doers make a difference. And if we're not careful, we can become like those in this story who mask their doubt with half-hearted effort. And instead of casting out the nets, we'll just cast out one. We'll put a little effort in. And then when the net breaks, when things don't go the way that we think that they should go, what do? We blame God. If we spend our lives questioning what God could do, can I tell you that we might not ever see what God can do? I think one of the saddest verses in the Bible to me is Matthew 13:58. It says, and he, speaking of Jesus, did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I would hate to think that we have robbed ourselves. And can we define it like that? It's not God robbing you. We have robbed ourselves because of our doubt. Please take note, after they had beckoned their partners in the other ship in verse 7 to come help them, while they were able to retain some of the blessing, this is just my opinion, they did not contain all of the blessing. That net broke. Please don't miss this. I believe some of the blessing was lost because they did not do what God had told them to do to begin with. Think of how much more, can I say it that way? How much more they would have had if they had thrown the nets in like God had initially told them to do. But because of their doubt, they did not fully commit. They cast out one net. They did what was convenient for them. Maybe they were thinking, we'll only have to clean one net. At least I'll get home earlier than I thought. We'll be a gospel witness. Are you with me, church? As long as it's convenient. We'll give, but only when it doesn't cost me much. I'll support that ministry as long as I get an update of everything that is going on there and I approve of it. I'll teach as long as those kids behave. It is only when we are fully committed and by faith trust in the Lord will we ever contain the entire blessing that God has in store for you and I. Let me just say this and I'll move on. This is why you have to be all in when it comes to your church. I feel led to say it, so if you don't mind, I'll just take a step of faith here. That's why some of you need to be all in when it comes to your Sunday school class. I mean, invite them to church. I'm all for that. But man, their world could be transformed if you get them into Sunday school. This is why we've got to be all in when it comes to your ministry, when it comes to your Sunday school class, and do all that you can, because doubt will never catch the blessing. Number two, please don't miss this. It takes a team to catch it. It takes a team to catch it. Notice verses 4-7, please. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Can I tell you, Peter said, I can handle this on my own. Sunday school teacher, I feel led to say it. Sunday school teacher, be careful of having that mentality. You have to let people help you if you're going to grow that Sunday school class. But if you take notice of this in verse number 6-7, it says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. Verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships so that they began to sink. Before I go on, can I just say what a wonderful thing it would be if our Sunday school classes are just so overflowing that we're like, "Who? I don't have any more room in this class. Who can take them?" What a wonderful thing that would be. It's very interesting, but if we were to look up that definition, the definition of the word partner, you would find that it is synonymous to the word teammate. You see, as a church, we are to be a team, and it takes a team to capture the blessing that God has in store for us. If I could just give you a few examples why we were out this summer, I remember I was preaching, and this was just a rough day. And some days you have that. And we were just tired. We were exhausted. And if you don't know this, I probably should not tell on this, but, you know, when they're college students, they want to do the bare minimal effort. Young people these days, you know what I'm talking about? The bare minimal effort. And we were there, and they were like, I don't really feel well. I just don't have any energy. And I said, listen, we're going to go into this church. I don't care how we feel, and we're going to give it our all. And I'm just, maybe I'm vocalizing now what I didn't vocalize then, but I felt the same way that they did. And we got there, and I preached, and as my custom was, is I would turn the invitation over to the pastor, and I went down, and I sat on the front row, and then all of a sudden, a young man came to the altar, and he's there, and he's crying. I don't know what's going on. I was like, I didn't think the message was that good, but you know, he's there, and God was doing something. Can I say, what I could not see doesn't mean it was not God was not at work. And here I am, and I looked at one of our young men. I said, I want you to talk to that young man after the service. And praise the Lord, that young man, he's going to be here in the fall, and we're so excited for him to be here. But let me just say, it was not just me as a preacher. It was a college student willing to go out of their way and talk to that young man. But it wasn't just us. It was a church willing to have us in and give us that influence. But it wasn't just that church. It was a church back home that sent us out and was praying for us and asking God to bless. What I'm saying is, it wasn't just a one-man show or a group show. It was a team effort. I think of a teenage girl after one Sunday morning. I was back there looking at all of the books, and I shared this story not too long ago, but I think it's fitting for the service tonight, and how she saw pastor's book about battered but not beaten, and she went to the pastor's wife, and she said, would you get that book for me? And that pastor's wife said, well, I don't know. I think you're probably a little bit too young for that. And that teenage girl looked at that pastor's wife and said, no, you don't understand. I need that book. Would you get that book for me? Now listen, I don't want to go into all of that story, but let me just say I'm thankful that there was a church willing to help that young lady, but now there are some resources that that young lady can have, knowing it's not just a one-off, it's not just how her church feels, but there is a Christian community out there that's willing to support their pastor, willing to support his writing, so they can be helped. And I tell you, it takes a team. I think of so many that we met over the summer who lost a loved one. And that grief material that we had and how we could be a help, how we could be a blessing. It takes a team. We're partners, we're co-laborers together with Christ. Think about it like this, as pastor navigates the ship, as he casts the vision for our church, as he shepherds, as parents navigate the home, as ministry leaders try to navigate their ministry. What happens when a mom and dad cast their net, but the youth department doesn't cast theirs? And that works both ways. What happens when a pastor casts his net, but we don't cast ours? College students, those that are here, what happens when a church casts their net by investing in you, but you don't cast yours? Will not catch all of the blessing that God has for us. And I don't know about you. I don't want to miss out on the blessing because of partial faith. And sometimes the reason we don't cast our net, and sometimes the reason we let others cast theirs, is because we still have a problem with point one. We have a doubt problem, and doubt will never catch the blessing. But what would happen if we rally together as a people? Can I tell you what would happen? Verse 9 would happen. For he was astonished, and all that were with him. I pray and I look forward to the day where God just unleashes his blessing on our church and we have no words. We can only praise him. We can only glorify him. We can only go home and look at our spouse with our jaws dropped and go, that was amazing. God showed up and God showed out. There's nothing more that we can say other than be astonished at the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's just that faithfulness. Sometimes we don't see what's going on the other side of the church. Sometimes in the back, we don't see those that walk forward at the altar crying, asking God to save them. We don't see those things. But just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. We would all be astonished at what God does. It takes each of us doing what we do to see the blessing that God has for us. I like what a business owner once said. He said, it doesn't matter how great of a GM you have if the team doesn't perform. You see, you can have a great leader, but if the people are unwilling to follow, if you don't have a team willing to work together, you'll not accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. You won't be as effective. Please know what you do in church is important, but how you do it is just as important as what? Because the church should be in unity. We should be in harmony. Our spirit should be right. Our motives should be right because we've got to work together. I have a responsibility, but you have a responsibility. And I want us to think of what we could accomplish in the next few weeks as a church during our fall campaign if we came together as a team and cast our nets. Third and finally, to capture it, you have to work toward it. But to see it, you'll have to sacrifice for it. Verse 4 and 5, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Casting out nets they had already cleaned cost them time. It cost them something. Jesus was trying to bless these men just as he tries to bless his church today, but the miracle won't happen until there is a sacrificial act of obedience. You think of all of the miracles in the Bible. Can you imagine? Lazarus is dead. He stinketh. But what did the Lord say? He said to roll away the stone. Can I ask you tonight, what would have happened if Noah had not cast out all of his nets and built the ark? The people are hungry. You know the story of the feeding of the 5,000. The people are hungry. How are we going to feed them? And yet they brought him a lad. That's the first net. With some fish and some barley loaves, who sacrificially gave to the Lord. That's the second net. But can I tell you, there's teamwork and there's everyone doing their part, but there's sacrifice. They had to be willing to go find the lad, but the lad had to be willing to give what he had to the Lord. How in the world are we ever going to conquer Jericho? How in the world are we ever going to do that? But by faith, they had to trust God. Can I say it like this? They had to trust the process. Lord, you want us to walk around this wall how many times? And after the first time, they saw no progress, but what they could not see doesn't mean it was not there. They worked as a team, every man doing as God instructed, doing their specific tasks. God gave them victory, but they had to work for it. You see, if we want to capture the vision and see God bless, we have to work towards that vision. Church, you'll never see a soul saved until you're first a gospel witness. You'll never see that next generation grow in the Lord until you first invest. You'll never see that friend or neighbor come to church until you invite. I'm just saying, before we can see the blessing, we have to sacrifice for the blessing. It's not just seeing the potential of the seed, but planting it. Perhaps it's when you're tired, you're exhausted, You've worked all night. Then perhaps you hear some preaching that tells you, let's launch back out into the deep and cast the nets. Listen to me now. Sacrifice isn't pretending, and it is not going through the motions. That net will break. But it's by faith, trusting the Lord, that your labor will not be in vain. And can I encourage all of our young people? I'm glad that many of them, that they want to step up. They want to take initiative. I'm glad that they want to do all that. But initiative is not fellowship. It is work. It is prayer. It is building a bus route. It is building their Sunday school class. It's inviting that friend, that coworker to church. And that can apply to all of us. Jesus said, do you want to catch some fish? What do you think we were doing all night? Of course, that's what we envisioned. Okay, but it's going to take a little more work. I know you've cleaned those nets, but it's going to take a little sacrifice. It was only then when their vision became reality. My prayer is that we would learn from this story, that we wouldn't be content with retaining some of the blessing, but that we would endeavor to capture all of the blessing. My prayer is that we wouldn't be half in and half out when it comes to our faith, casting a single net here and a single net there, but that we would be committed to giving God our all. That as a church, we would work together as a team filled and motivated by our faith, who doesn't just have a vision, but works towards that vision. Because we want to see God's blessing in each other's lives. And when the devil tries to get us to doubt, when the devil tries to get us to give up and quit, when you don't see the point, I pray we'll encourage each other with these words. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together tonight.